John Carlson on the phone from Los Angeles again?
Carlson?
He's from Apple Computer's ad agency. They want to do a commercial about us.
Would we get to be in the commercial?
No. Because we can't do it.
Why not?
Over the past 15 months, we've doubled our productivity. We've cut development time by a third.
That's what I mean.
Why would we go on national TV and tell our competition exactly how we did it?
It's a good point.
Hello, and welcome to the Colcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Joining me today, get ready for some London handshakes, Canada, because he's coming to live with you. Leander Kenny is here.
That's right.
Put on your cups, Canada.
I actually checked it out yesterday, the website, and it crashed, right?
Did you see that? You're not the only one. Also joining us, pictures of his man chest floating in a river have been a great comfort to me during this tumultuous election. Buster Kine is here.
Hey, man. I'm glad you could get some comfort from my chesties.
We should make that available to all the listeners. In this time of great unrest,
yeah,
I think it could be a unifying factor for all people to stare into that beautiful chest. And you were wearing arm floaties in that, weren't you?
Oh, no. No, just a pool noodle. Come on, I don't need arm floaties.
I was going to say, do they even make like adult-sized arm floaties? They
must. My arms would shred those things.
Oh, yeah. Dude, totally. I didn't even think about that.
Gone.
There's no room in those for those buys you got. Well, you know, I know a lot of people are talking politics this week, and we're not going to do that. We're going to do what we do every Thursday. We're going to talk about what's really most important in this world, each week's best Apple stories. We'll be doing that, and we have got a lot of stuff to talk about, and hopefully we'll provide some distraction and some positivity to a very tumultuous season for many people in the U.S., and I'm glad you're all here joining us today. Before we jump into the news, Leander, do you have anything that you would like to tell the listeners about?
I would like to encourage the listeners to go to cultofmike.com and check out our free ebook about getting fit with your iPhone and Apple Watch. Of course, now is the perfect time to be thinking about that with the holiday season coming up and all the calories you're going to be consuming at Thanksgiving.
So many calories.
Yeah, so, you know, now's a good time to get the jump on it. It was written by Graham Bauer. He's a developer out of the UK who wrote an app called Reps and Sets, which is a way to do gym logging and a gym app. It's really good. It's great. He actually made it free on the App Store. But he wrote a great book as well.
And the book is free, man. You haven't even said
that.
The
book is free. It's a PDF. It's pretty comprehensive. It's all about how to set up your watch, and your iPhone, how to navigate all the activity apps and the health apps. Lots of advice about using it to your best advantage. You know, to get fit or to lose weight. It has chapters on diet and different apps to use that to manage that. Weightlifting, running. It's pretty comprehensive, and it's a really, really good job. He did a great, great job with this, and it's free. It's a free ebook. All you could do is sign up on the website, and we'll have a link in the show notes.
So we'll put a link in the show notes, okay? Because I know there was some trouble with the link last time.
Right.
Okay.
Forgot to put it in.
No. It was in there, but I think I linked to the post, not to the ebook directly or something. Yeah. The post link was definitely in there.
Okay.
But it sounds like there's some confusion, so we'll get that worked out. If I may, I would also like to promote a little something. Some of you may know that before I ever met Leander Kenny, I started a small graphic T-shirt company called Might Tees. And I was a huge Apple fan, and we created, I think, some of the coolest Apple-inspired T-shirts that have ever been made. I was telling Leander this before the show. I haven't seen any T-shirts that are cooler than the ones that we made. And since that time, it was like 5 or 6 years ago that I started my tees. I've kind of been winding it down, and we still have orders trickling in, so it's kind of been going, but I've decided that I just need to close up shop, wind it down completely. So what I've decided to do is offer all of our listeners a discount code that will give you, I think, 60% off any order. And this brings the T-shirts from their normal price of like $28 each down to about $11. So it's an outstanding deal. If you're interested in Star Trek themed t-shirts, we've got some amazing ones. If you're interested in Apple t-shirts, and not just like nerdy, uncool Apple t-shirts, like these have a cool aesthetic, you know, they have a serious cool factor to them. We only use the best screen printers and the best fabrics to make the shirts. So they're very high quality. And you can get them for a song if you head over to mightees.com. That's mightees.com. And peruse what we have. And when you're ready to buy something, use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll save 60% off your order. We ship worldwide. Now, shipping to the UK is kind of expensive. Many of you know who live in the UK, it's really expensive to ship stuff there. But with the exchange rate, you're actually still getting a pretty good deal because the pound is worth like, every 1 pound is worth like 16 American dollars at this point.
I think it's the other way around, actually.
I'm pretty sure that's right. Maybe check me on that, but that's close. That's close for sure. So I would really appreciate your support. And also, I think you're going to be happy with what you see there. So that's mightees.com, mightees.com. You can snag a little piece of history. The whole reason I got connected with Leander in the first place is Cultimac covered Mike Tees in a post. I reached out to them. I reached out to Nicole and thanked her, and we got into a conversation. I asked if I could write for you guys. And within 2 to 3 months, I wound up in a hotel room in Las Vegas with Leander Caney. In only his tighty whities. Right. Yeah, I was like, wow, I just met this man and here he is standing in nothing but his tighty whities. Okay. There were other people there too. It wasn't just him and I. We were on an excursion together. We were at CES, I think like 2012 or something.
Yeah, and that's when you bought a suitcase full of apples.
You're
with you, right?
You're never going to let me live that down, are you? I knew you were going to bring that up. Yes.
That's so weird.
I like to eat a certain kind of food. I brought apples, and Leander still to this day thinks that's totally bizarre.
Yeah.
Because they don't have good produce in Nevada. No, all they have is like, you know, seafood imported from L.A. So I wanted to make sure that I had some good eats while I was there. Anyway, let's go ahead. Let's start with some Apple news. Let's talk about this first because I am super duper excited for this. I'm doing Hulk Hogan hands right now as I talk. That's how excited I am. Supposedly, the AirPods are supposed to land in Apple stores next week. I don't know how reliable this rumor is. I'm just going to put that out there. But let me tell you what we've heard. According to one Apple fan who spoke to an employee at Conrad, which is an Apple-authorized reseller in Germany, AirPods will be delivered to stores next Friday, November 17th. The employee said, I have just talked with an employee at the Conrad store and said I wanted to order some of the AirPods. He explained, according to the information from the employee, they have stockpiles, and they will be available between November 18th and 19th for sale. So there you have it. And since I didn't get my MacBook Pro, I need to spend my money on something. Leander, are you gonna get a pair of these, or is it just me?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna get multiple pairs.
Really? Do you really need multiple pairs?
No, but I might get a few for Christmas. I'm sure it's gonna be a hot gift.
Oh, probably. You know, I just had a great product idea. Oh my gosh, dude, we need to make these available for sale. You know how some manufacturers have made like that little rope that ties on to the end of the AirPods so that, you know, you can take them out of your ear and just hang them on your neck?
Dangle them, yeah.
Dude, that's such a bad idea. Who wants to have something hanging around their neck? I'm gonna make the AirPod ear loops, and there'll be two little clasps that hang on to your earlobes. And then they connect to the ear pods that when you don't want to wear them, you just take them out. They double as earrings.
Earrings. That's a genius idea. Oh, man. We got to get into that.
Dude, we're going to make at least several $100 on that idea.
More than likely, you'll have boxes of them and you'll be doing the Coldcast. Yeah. Like,
in 2 years from now, I'll be begging people to buy them from me for like 25%
off
each.
Yeah. Coldcast at checkout.
Every listener, as long as you listen, I will send you a free pair of AirPod ear clasps.
Yeah.
Here's another rumor that I thought was interesting. and was pretty jazzed about, although I don't think this is actually going to come to fruition. There was a rumor this week that Apple plans to release a jet white version of the newest iPhones. This was from Japanese blog Makatokara, and I know they have kind of a mixed record. Buster, do you think there's any chance that we'll see some jet white iPhones or iPhone 7s out there?
No. When has Apple ever decided to come out with a new color mid-cycle? Never. So I just don't see why that would happen.
Hold on. Wait a second. Hold your horses. Wasn't there an early iPhone that was white that was delayed? And it came out... I think they announced it, but it didn't ship, right?
It might have been like the 3GS.
Right. Yeah, it was early on.
Yeah, but they announced it.
Well, it had problems too, didn't it? Because there was a lot of light leakage onto the camera. Remember that too?
Yeah, I remember that now.
But that phone had a glass back.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Which you know, with plastic, they probably won't have that issue.
Oh, it doesn't matter what color it is. Yeah, a white iPhone 4, then that's what it was. Yeah.
Dude, I would buy a jet white iPhone in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
That's like straight out of Star Wars, you know, like the Stormtrooper outfits, like that shiny white plastic.
Oh, it's just like classic Apple's candy white that they've used in tons of their products forever.
I'd be all over that. And then they would match your ear pods. But to your point, then I got to thinking, we're pretty sure the next iPhone is going to be drastically different than the one they have now. So when would they release this quote-unquote white iPhone 7, right? It would have to be sometime between now and the new iPhone. And they're not going to – they wouldn't do that, I don't think. Like, release it mid-cycle like you just said, that doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't see Apple doing that because they would also have to, you know, create production for it. I mean, maybe they're thinking about that idea for the next iPhone.
Right. They're going to go back to glass on that one, or so we've heard.
Yeah.
I've been carrying my phone around with no case now. I just did away with the case altogether.
Oh, living dangerously.
Wow. Yeah, right. It's like the first time I think I've done that with an iPhone forever, a long time. And, you know, it's held up really well. It hasn't scratched. There's a couple of small scratches on it.
Have you dropped it, though?
Yeah.
No, I haven't actually dropped it. But, you know, it's actually pretty grippy. You know, like they say, that it's strange because it looks like a slippery bar of slope, but it's quite.
You got the jet black, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The jet black is way grippier than the matte black. The matte black is extremely slippery. I was taking my pants off the other day, as I sometimes do. And I must have had my pants pockets facing the ground, and that thing shot out of my pocket at like Mach 2. It was like one of those sleds that go through like those like what's that Olympic event where they have like
toboggan,
right? It was like a toboggan on a track, man.
And it's at the end when it's flying out of the last curve.
It shot out of my pocket. I think I heard it break the sound barrier and it hit the ground at full speed. And if I didn't have a case on the phone, because I was actually at a public pool. I was in the changing room, so the ground was concrete. You know, hasta la vista iPhone 7, that would have been it for the phone. So I would just be way too nervous.
This story was about how it was all slippy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's because a case on it.
Well, yeah, I did have a case, but the case is kind of slippery too.
Oh, the slippy case? I haven't come across that one.
Yeah, when I bought the slippy case, I was wondering why they called it that, and then it dropped into my pocket, and I was like, okay, I'm an idiot.
Right.
No, the case is actually pretty smooth too, although it is more grippy than the iPhone 7 itself. I guess my point being that if you had the iPhone bare in your pocket, it would slip out of your pocket even easier because it's so smooth.
Mm, yeah.
It's like Lando Calrissian, man. It's as smooth as can be.
Smooth, huh?
So anyway, I would never go without a case now. You know, I'm actually doing a review of a bunch of different cases, slim cases and cases with a good looking aesthetic that you'll actually be proud to have on your phone. You know, there's so many ugly cases out there.
Yeah.
And so I'll have more about that coming up, but this case that I'm using now is actually quite slim, and there's a lot of like really slim cases out there that provide an adequate amount of protection. And one of the things I've realized is I think on my iPhone 6 Plus, which I really disliked and ended up going back to a smaller phone, one of the reasons I didn't like it is because the case on it, I think, was just too large. And it made it more unruly than it actually is. Now that I have this slim case on the 6 or on the 7 Plus, I actually like the plus size phone, I would say, 100% more. Like, I might actually buy it again next generation because it's just a lot easier to handle.
It's definitely
right, Leander. It's like putting a case on it just makes it harder to use.
Yeah, well, it just bulks it up a bit, and you don't really need it. And it's actually, you know, it's not even that large anymore. And like when you first got it, it seemed absolutely ginormous.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't even look that big. It just looks like a regular size phone.
I don't know. It still feels pretty big to me. I'm not sure I'm with you there yet. I mean, it still feels pretty huge. But it doesn't feel unruly like it did when I had this ginormous rubber bumper on it like I did with the last phone. And it was always getting stuck in my pockets. I mean, this one is still poking me in the goads every time I sit down. But
well, have you seen there's a new trend, you know, especially amongst younger women, teenage girls, to have these gigantic...
You sent me that picture. That was you that sent me that picture of that giant teddy bear case. Right. They're big in Japan, right? Isn't that primarily where they're being used?
Here too. I mean, some girl was walking in the street in front of us the other day, and she dropped her phone, and it was absolutely huge. The case, it was comically big. It was like the size of a paperback novel, right? And the phone is there, like in the middle, you know, embedded in it. But the thing was the case is so big that it just sort of bounced around a little bit on the floor.
I don't even think big is the right word. It's huge.
Huge, right.
It's the biggest, that case that you sent me is the biggest case that I've ever seen in my entire life. It was enormous.
Well, it's too big.
There's no way you could put that in your pocket. You'd have to have a purse.
No, well, they don't even put it in a purse either. Just carry it around, you know, carry it out.
Does it have like a wrist strap or something?
I didn't see one. So, I mean, some of them might do. The ones that the girl from China that... that showed us the first one was, it was like they're called Line Pets, I think. Is that right, Line Pets?
No, I haven't heard of it.
And it's they're actually emoji characters from the popular Chinese texting messaging app, mm-hmm. WeChat, I think. Mm-hmm. They're the two. There's two. I think they're mascots, but there's a teddy bear and then there's a bunny. And so hers was like giant bunny case.
If we could have one manufactured where the backside is like Buster's face with his beard and the other side is where your phone is, like we could probably sell a bunch of those. I'm one good idea after
you're
another.
You're on an
this
entrepreneurial
show,
streak.
I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll today. I mean, that's something that I would buy and keep my iPhone
especially in. Especially if it had some fake hair on it as well.
Oh, man. We'll have like boar hair or like horse hair or something as the real beard. Features realistic Buster beard. That's something that would sell for sure.
Right,
we'll just
that
pay a
funny.
Bunch of like hairy guys to shave their chest and glue it to the back of the phone.
That sounds great.
Doesn't that sound like something you'd pay at least $75 for?
Oh,
I think
probably
so.
At least, yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about MacBook Pro. Got lots of great comments from many of you after last show, and I'm really happy that you guys took it so well. I wasn't trying to be negative Nancy, so to speak. And I think a lot of you got that message. You know, it was like you kind of understood why I decided to cancel my pre-order, and many of you decided to keep your pre-order, and you're not alone. In fact, there was a story this week that the new MacBook Pro has already outsold every other notebook in 2016. Every other notebook. Check this out. The latest model generated over 7 times the revenue the MacBook 12-inch did during its April 2015 launch. The new MacBook Pro sales already equal 78% of all the revenue generated by the MacBook Pro 12-inch since it became available. And this thing just was announced. It has accumulated more revenue than any other laptop this year. This information is coming from Slice Intelligence, by the way. Another interesting tidbit, they found that 40% of Apple laptop owners who purchased a MacBook in 2014 bought their next laptop with another brand, usually a Dell or an Asus. Isn't that interesting? I can't imagine going from a MacBook Pro to like, dude, you're getting a Dell.
The hardware's getting better, though, now that they've been ripping off Apple for so long, you know, that it's looking a lot nicer. We saw some laptops at CES last year that were really nice-looking hardware-wise.
Yeah, the new Surface Book looks great, but, of course, it has hardware issues, and people that I know that have one have issues with it. And there's other laptops, too, like the HP Spectre, which is a gorgeous notebook. It's spec'd much more powerfully than the new MacBook Pro, but... This is a good segue into something I was going to bring up. So we talked about this last week, and I was and Leander, you were good about emphasizing this, and you know, I totally agree with you. Specs aren't everything, right? Mm-hmm. We get Macs, we get iPhones that aren't spec'd as powerfully as devices that are Android or devices that are Windows, but the Mac still outperforms them in many regards, and that's often what Apple pushes is that aspect is like, because they're in charge of the whole ecosystem, software and hardware, you get a product that performs better, even though the hardware specs aren't necessarily cutting edge. So I saw a video this week that I thought illustrated this perfectly. This was, I want to give a shout out to Johnny Lewis Films. He reached out to me on Twitter and alerted me to this video. This is Jonathan Morris on YouTube, and he makes a ton of great technology videos. He pitted a HP Spectre, which is a really thin, sleek PC laptop, to a 13-inch MacBook Pro. So this is the new MacBook Pro, right? It's not even the Touch ID or the Touch Bar one. And so this isn't even the most powerful one Apple's making. But he was pitting them together and showing how well or how fast you can edit a video on the MacBook as opposed to the HP Spectre. Because on the Spectre, your option is really, you know, Adobe Premiere or maybe like one of the other more professional software or video editing software platforms. But a lot of people just use Adobe Premiere because it's included, you know, in your subscription fee. And Adobe Premiere to export a 6-minute video took 9 minutes, 9 minutes to export that video. Final Cut and a 13-inch MacBook Pro exported that same video in 1:20. So if you're a YouTube creator, if you're a video creator, it's kind of like there's no competition. I mean, you're going to be using Final Cut Pro. And one of the most popular YouTubers, MKBHD, who also makes great videos, he recently switched from Premiere to Final Cut for that exact same reason. And his main editing machine, he said, was going to be a new MacBook Pro. And this is a guy who has, I don't know, 6 million subscribers. Well, actually, it's more like 5 million subscribers on YouTube. He just interviewed Air Force One. Did you guys see that video?
Yeah.
He sat down with him, had a conversation with him. So this guy is doing a lot of good stuff on YouTube. And he's choosing a Mac and Final Cut Pro. And, I mean, he is a pro, right? He's making videos for a living. So I just wanted to offer that, not that I need to offer an olive branch, because I don't think I was that negative on the MacBook Pro last week, but...
So you canceled it?
No. A lot of my criticisms for the MacBook Pro, I think, still stand. But I'm trying to communicate to people that there are situations where the MacBook Pro is going to be the best machine for you, regardless of how it's spec'd, because of Final Cut Pro, because of Logic, because of Apple's outstanding, highly optimized apps that they put out for the MacBook Pro. And so I still kind of want a MacBook Pro, but I'm not going to buy one. Especially once I saw that video, I was like, damn, that's fast. That's fast. That really makes things clear. But I wonder how long that same export would take on a 2013 MacBook Pro. Anybody change their minds? Anyone going to be picking up the new MacBook Pro? Leander?
No. Like I said last time, you know, I'm done with laptops. Yeah.
Forever. Yeah.
They're out of my life.
You're done with laptops, just laptops in general.
Yeah.
Okay. That's nuts, it. But this is America and that's your prerogative.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah. Precisely. Precisely. Cause you're going to be going iPad only, right, Leander?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
So far, so good.
What are you podcasting from currently?
Well, my Mac, my iMac.
Oh, your iMac. Okay.
Right. All right. Yeah. So, enough. I mean, not exactly, you know, I've got an iMac at work, which is basically my main machine.
Right. Yeah. And iMacs are great, right? If you don't need something portable, I would totally get down with some iMacs.
Right.
Well, we got a bit of reaction from Apple over all the MacBook Pro complaints this week. And many of you probably know by now, Apple dropped the prices on all their adapters across the board. The USB-C to USB adapter was $19. Now it's $9. The Thunderbolt 3 to Thunderbolt 2 adapter was $49. Now it's $29. And there has been price cuts across all the adapters. And I wonder if you think this is enough, Leander, to appease people. You know, this is kind of like a small acknowledgement that Apple was like, okay, some people are pissed. They don't want to use dongles, but we'll toss you a friggin' bone. Here's a slash on the adapters. You think it's enough to make people happy? Are you happy with it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess. Not really. I mean, it's a sort of a PR move, wasn't it? I mean, I don't think it has any really, you know, any meaningful impact. It was like, it's like giving the antenna gate, giving away a free bumper to buyers who are worried right. about, you know, the right. losing reception because they were holding it wrong. You know, it kind of, I guess it's good. You know, it shows Apple sort of kind of listening to its customers, you know. And maybe after the horse has bolted from the stable, it might be a little bit too late for some people. But, you know, also, it's you know, the best way to think about the new MacBook Pro is to see it in a lineup of products, isn't it? It's not standing on its own. People are very disappointed that the MacBook, you know, hasn't got every single port. Legacy port that it could possibly have and all these other different things that you know, pro users say they want. You know, if you see it, and of course it can't have a full touchscreen either because that's what the iPad does. They don't want to, and I think the iPad and the iPhone, multi-touch is the future. And so they're adapting some of it to the Mac. The next step probably is they're going to have a full, you know, multi-touch keyboard maybe right below.
Yeah,
and all of the input will be multi-touch on a you know, like on.
Oh wait, do you mean it's going to be digital? Device. Like it's going to be like a screen that you type
well,
on?
Well, maybe the rumors about the OLED keyboard. I would guess it would be like an OLED keyboard, a physical keyboard with OLED, you know, keys that change their function, you know, depending on whatever software was running, and maybe a full color touchpad. So the touchpad itself is actually, you know, has some kind of, it becomes a multi-touch device.
Well, I mean, the touchpad already is a multi-touch device.
Well, you know, maybe it would light up, so it'd be more like a screen, so it would have different buttons, you could hit buttons on it, you know, and so instead of reaching up to hit the screen, you hit the screen on the touchpad itself.
Well, they certainly made it big enough, right? It's gonna,
right.
It's
exactly.
almost the size of the screen now.
And in a certain way, it would make sense. You know, you would keep the input separate from the screen. So it would, you know, the laptop, you know, the whole point of really a laptop, wasn't it, is that you could work without looking at what your fingers were doing.
Yeah.
Everything was done on the keyboard, you know, and you'd be looking at the screen, and then you'd reach down and you'd move the mouse around. So the touch bar sort of breaks that paradigm, doesn't it? Because now you have to look down and look for your target.
Mm-hmm.
To see where to hit it. So I don't know. You know, there are some definitely. So if you had a full screen, like a full multi-touch screen that turned into a keyboard when you wanted to type, you know, you wouldn't have that tactile feedback. You wouldn't be able to necessarily like orient.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I would have finger confusion, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah
you
yeah.
really wouldn't know where to put your fingers.
Right, but so it's a different way of, you know, this is why I'm kind of a little bit skeptical that might happen because. You know, you'd have to keep your hands on the bottom screen rather than on your eyes on the bottom screen rather than on the on the screen where the main screen. So I don't know. You know, that's why I think it's probably more likely it's going to be an OLED keyboard that where the keys might change depending on what software or app you were using.
Yeah, I think we're headed in that direction, especially with that e-ink news that we heard, you know, where Apple was thinking about, you know, implementing e-ink keyboards that the keys could become dynamic in some way.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I think the keyboard and the touchpad are definitely things that Apple are considering making to be more dynamic so they'd become more useful in future iterations of the MacBook. You know, what's funny about these dongles is I know people that don't even have the new MacBook Pro or didn't buy it. And they're buying these dongles. Like, people are hoarding them because Apple has made these price drops temporary only until the end of the year, which I should have mentioned at the start of the story. These price drops are only good, I think, until the beginning of January or the end of January, maybe. I'll have to check. But so people are, like, just, like, hoarding these things because they're like, I'm going to get the new MacBook Pro. I got to get these dongles now while they're still reasonably priced. And I have to admit, I'm kind of tempted to go buy some USB to C to USB adapters.
That's the height of madness. Are you crazy?
I need
all the complaint about dongles, and people are going out and snapping them up and getting bagfuls of dongles.
Well,
you're
probably going to need them eventually. And Apple's got the best dongles, don't they, folks? Apple makes the best dongles. You're going to love the dongles. That's true, though. I mean, Apple. You look on Amazon. I've been looking for dongles and adapters on Amazon, and a lot of the third party. Products that are available just don't have a lot of good reviews, which, by the way, you should always check the reviews on fakespot.com to make sure they're not like just totally, you know, fraudulent. And so they don't have high ratings, and you know Apple's dongles are going to be the best. And if they're not, Apple will let you return them. So you kind of have that warm and fuzzy feeling. So I might buy a few USB-C to USB adapters and just leave them sitting around until the time comes. There's also there is also probably a, I'd say a 30% chance I'm going to cave once everyone gets their new MacBook Pros and the benchmarks start coming out.
Right, yeah. Is that all 30? Yeah. I'll put it at like 99.
I'd say it's closer to 30. At the moment, I have strong willpower. Now, if I have a few too many L's on a Friday night, you know, that maybe drops to 89%. It depends on what the benchmarks are, and that's one of the things I'm excited about. Once people start getting these machines, and by the way, people have already started receiving their shipment notifications, so these machines are probably going to be in people's laps. They could be as early as, you know, tomorrow or even early next week. We'll start to see benchmarks for these computers, and that's one of the things that I wanted to see before I really made a decision.
Yeah.
But man, they're so expensive. That's the biggest thing preventing me from getting the MacBook Pros. I could forgive everything else. If they just dropped the prices they were last year, I would probably buy one regardless. But $3,000 for a laptop. I mean, like I said, that's, you know, three times more than my car costs. Apple also dropped the price of the new displays that they worked on with LG, the 5K and 4K LG ultrafine displays that were announced at the Mac event. The 5K display was $1,299. It's now $974. Weird. $974. The 4K display was $699. It's now $524. So that's a pretty significant price cut. I mean, I'm definitely not mad at Apple for doing this. I'll put it that way. I mean, I think it was a nice gesture. Is it going to appease the masses? I mean, I don't think so. But, I mean, at least they're admitting, hey, we realize that this is going to be a hassle for you guys. So we'll at least, you know, we'll give you a discount on some dongles. Dongle discount.
So dumb.
Dongle discount. What they should do, and we've been talking about this for 2 weeks now, is they should include every adapter in one beautifully crafted Johnny Ive magic dongle pouch that has like a leather tether that ties around it so you could, like, you know, unroll it across a table and all your dongles are sitting there in their precisely measured individual pockets ready to be used, and sell that for one fair price. I think that would be okay. I wanted to bring up some of the feedback people left for us via Cultimac and via Reddit about the MacBook Pro complaints I raised last week and give you guys a voice. Albert Clyde from Reddit says, I also hate when someone touches my screen of my MacBook Pro. And I get that. You never touch another man's screen. Many of you agree with me with that message. And I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one, because if another man touches your screen, I don't think it's inappropriate just to slap him across the face.
You don't think it's inappropriate to?
No, I think that's the right move, don't you?
Yeah. Some slap, guy though.
Huh?
Don't you mean punch?
You think a punch is maybe too aggressive?
That's more masculine.
There you go. Okay. I would be fine with either, honestly. If you slapped him, I think that's acceptable.
Slap is a rebuke, isn't it? Whereas a punch is much more aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a punch is taking it overboard.
You want to slap his hand, right? You want to, like, a little...
No, I prefer across the face.
Okay.
Just really, I mean, because, you know, there's something really insulting about a slap. Like, a punch is like, oh, man, you punched me. But, like, a slap is like, I think that dude just slapped me.
Yeah, right. They recoil in shock. They're like, what the heck? That's they're holding right. their cheek.
They're not sure what to do.
Yeah, they can't believe it just happened, right?
Exactly. You slapped them. D-bags on Reddit. He said, Airfon is being too negative about the MacBook Pros. If you're coming from a recent gen machine, I agree you won't be as inclined to upgrade. But most of this comes down to the latest Intel chips being designed for efficiency over raw power. That's true. I upgraded from the base 13-inch from a late, or to the base 13-inch, I should say, from a late 2009 machine, and this MacBook is better in every single way. Can't wait to get my hands
on the Johnny Ive. You're on a 2009 machine, homie. Like,
dude, no,
come on. You got a seven-year-old machine. Of course it's way better in every
way.
Like,
you could have bought, like, an entry-level Dell, and it probably would have been better than what you have,
like,
now.
The new MacBook Retina is super powered compared to your shitty old MacBook Pro from 2009. Like, And that's a long time to hold on to a machine. I'm thinking more like the people that have been waiting 3 or 4 years to get a new machine. For them, it's like, my machine currently is still okay. But yeah,
and that's definitely the perspective I'm coming from. Yeah. You know, because like I upgrade my machine every 3 years usually, but I use it, you know, to produce videos and podcasts and stuff. So I want to keep the hardware current. But yeah, dude, 2009. I'm not even mad at D-Bags. I applaud you, sir. How did you keep that machine going? He must have treated that thing so gingerly. He probably has a pair of white gloves that he wears every time he opens it and types on it. Like that is a long time to have a machine. Dude. It's 2016, man. It's almost 2017. So that's a 7 or 8 year old machine. I wonder what OS he's on. One of the other relevant comments we got, this was from the captain. He left this comment on cultmac.com. And he said, I don't want to disparage any of you on the podcast. Thank you, the captain. You guys are great. Thank you, sir. But you seem to dismiss the criticism of a lot of the pros too easily. I just want to provide a view of a pro who has worked in the video production over 25 years. Unlike pros who may work in the tech industry, our ecosystems are not just a few items on a desk and maybe a camera that can be relatively easy to replace. We have dozens and dozens of devices to interface with, and none of them are on the new Mac Pro ports. For instance, when the headphone jack was dropped from the iPhone, I was sitting on a location with 8 different devices that use that jack. None of them will be phased out over the next 10 years. Apple is increasingly making less business sense to stay with each release, both in value for price for the hardware and ease of use. Just too many damn dongles. Not enough support. Not enough ports. And that's kind of what, I don't think I was trying to dismiss pro professionals and their use of the MacBook Pros. In fact, I have a lot of accessories myself that I'm not going to phase out either. And that was one of the big things that went into my decision not to get the new MacBook Pro, because I just don't want to have to buy dongles for everything. And I don't want to get rid of the equipment that I have, because the equipment that I have is still relevant. It's still current. Like my monitor, for instance, is a great Acer monitor. It's 4K. And I don't want to have to use a dongle to use it. And I'm not getting rid of the monitor, so I feel your pain, the captain. And I don't think we were dismissive last show. You know, it's funny, if anything, I thought maybe I came across as too negative last show. And my position was maybe more like the captain's position. So it's interesting to hear people have opposing takes from what we talked about last episode. But anyway... And if you wanted to reach out about anything that we talk about the show, you can always do so on Twitter. I'm at Airphone, many of you know. And also on our Reddit, thecultcast.reddit.com. I always love to hear what you guys think about what we talk about. And also you can suggest topics for us to talk about on future shows. Let's wrap up with this story that I thought was super duper exciting. Apple said to be considering augmented reality. Did you hear anything about this, Buster?
I probably wrote the post. Well, you may have. You covered the Mac Rumors one instead of my version. This is the Mac.
I was like, do you work for Mac Rumors?
No, because I read it on cultamac.com. Sorry, you didn't get
I will
the
put the cultamac link in here. I will put the cultamac link in here. Maybe I missed your post.
Yeah.
But what did you think about this story? Are you excited about augmented reality? Because I am.
It'll be interesting to see what Apple's augmented reality product is, because everybody's talking about virtual reality right now, and
yeah,
not
that's
a lot
kind
of
the
people
hot.
Are doing augmented.
Yeah, only Microsoft really is doing augmented reality.
Yeah, and those goggles look just so dorky. So that's, I mean, basically that's the bar Apple has to clear, is a headset that doesn't look dorky as f-.
Well, so this report, or this information, is coming from a report from Ming-Chi Kuo, Apple analyst extraordinaire, who has one of the best track records. You all know who he is, most likely. And he said that, this is the confusing part, he said that Apple is churning from, I'm paraphrasing here, churning from the Apple Car project in favor of augmented reality technology. And I wasn't sure if he meant that they were going to be using augmented reality for some kind of like automated driving purpose, or if they're just working on augmented reality now instead of working on the car project. Do you have
any insight into that? They were using augmented reality and virtual reality to test some components of their car. That way they didn't have to bring it out on the street. And so that's like they're also using augmented reality as part of like the UI system, I believe, for the car was another thing he's talking about. So he's it's going to be easier for them to make like their self-driving platform for cars because they already are starting their augmented reality stuff. And I think he said that the first product was set to come out by like 2018.
Oh, was it that soon?
Yeah.
The idea of augmented reality to me is incredible. Like imagining wearing some type of goggles. Well, maybe not goggles. Let me step that back. Let's say like if you wear glasses or sunglasses or something that are clear and have some type of cool digital heads-up display within the lenses themselves, that would be amazing.
Do you think glasses though? Glasses is the way you want to go.
What else would you use?
Well, do you remember Scoble was coming up with all those rumors about the iPhone itself was going to be transparent?
Yeah, well, Scoble is like so on drugs or something. Well, there's no way that could happen. How would they do that? You got processing chips. You got to make the battery transparent. Then you'd like it's impossible.
You don't need to make it transparent. All you have to do is like the camera, right? Uh-huh. Makes the phone basically transparent.
Do you remember that World Translation app that you would use?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
In fact, that might still be out.
That's what it would be like. You'd hold your phone up and you'd look on the screen, and whatever the phone was seeing, it would project using the camera onto the screen, and then it would overlay with the information onto the phone screen.
So it's like Pokemon Go, but for productivity.
Well, that's exactly what it is. Pokemon Go is
that though, and I've never found any of them to be compelling at all.
Like Pokemon Go.
I turned the IR off on Pokemon Go.
A lot of people did. Yeah. Why did they do that?
Because then you like don't have to worry about like finding them. You know, like you have to move your camera to go right on the Pokemon. And then like with the AR turned off, it's just like in a blank generic graphics field, and you can just catch it a lot easier.
So it makes it easier.
Yeah,
it makes the game easier. Yeah, I think this is terribly exciting. I'm a little bummed that Apple seems to be moving away from the car project because I think we were all somewhat excited about.
I don't believe that either. I'm not sure that that's.
Yeah,
I
agree. I'm not like, why would they abandon it completely?
They were at the point of looking at industry. I mean, they always do this anyway with all their products, but they're at the stage where they're trying to industrialize it. Uh-huh. You know. And I think that's where they've hit road bumps is like in the actual manufacture because it's a big and complex supply chain. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where they're seeing problems, is in that. I don't think they're going to be retreating from this. I mean, my goodness, it's the biggest opportunity in the entire industry, the car industry.
Yeah.
That's,
right?
That's really true. Yeah.
And it's the biggest industry in, the biggest product industry in the world. So there's no way they're going to sit it out.
I kind of wonder now if they're going to retreat from the hardware and provide the software. I mean, they already have CarPlay, and they could create more software for all of these self-driving cars, because eventually that's where all the cars are going to be, right? They're going to be these, autonomous units that you just sit in, and all this software will basically operate the car on your behalf. And so maybe they're going to be moving to that instead of creating an actual hardware car. But isn't that antithetical to what Apple likes to do, right?
Right.
They like to control the hardware and the software.
And also, it's basically like if they're just creating the self-driving platform, it's like they're trying to become the Windows or Android of cars, which has never been what they go for, you know?
Well, I'm encouraged. You guys made me feel better because I was kind of like, oh, man, bummer. Apple's totally out of the car game. It seems like they're mothballing their Project Titan. They're laying people off, we've heard. They had 1,000 people working on this, and now it just kind of seems like they're pushing people off into other departments to do other things. So I think the world would be a better place with an Apple car. I really do. I mean, someone has to give Tesla a run for their money. I think Tesla is an amazing company, but I think competition is always a good thing. And I would love to see Apple enter the car business and really come out with some sweet-ass Johnny Ive, inspired car.
Well, it's going to be more Mark Newsom designed car, I think. And go take a look at the thing he made for Ford. which is really...
I didn't see it. Is it just terrible?
80s. Yeah, it's like a weird... It looks like a toy car, like something out of Fisher-Price car. And it had weird doors that opened backwards, like the suicide doors. It's made of green plastic, and it's really comical looking. But of course, it was just a concept, a prototype.
That's what happens when you have as much genius as they have. It's like when musicians are so advanced in music that they start coming out with like this weird, zany, experimental stuff that only they could possibly like. And everyone else is like, yeah, pretty cool, man. And they're playing like all these strange arpeggios that just make you want to urinate your pants and like you can hardly stand it. And sometimes I think maybe Mark and Johnny kind of head off in that direction. Like they're just so bored with doing things that are average.
Yeah.
They're constantly on the fringe doing things sometimes that are just totally bizarre that no one would actually want to have in their house.
Right. They're pushing the envelope. But then, you know, there was all this tie-up though with McLaren, right? All these rumors about them buying Apple, buying McLaren. And mm-hmm. if you look at McLaren, I mean, they have a really interesting, their cars use this carbon fiber monocoque body. So the body itself is the structure of the car. So it's super lightweight. And it's a fascinating
thing. It's got a unibody, design exactly. with chamfered edges.
Yeah, exactly. We're made out of carbon fiber. It is. It's totally the unibody stuff. And apparently their manufacturing process is really advanced. And it can be industrialized on a huge scale. Which I think is one of the main keys to why Apple would be interested.
You know what's crazy? We're kind of going off into the weeds here, but I am really super interested in electric cars, and I want one really bad. But you know, of course, brand new, they're very expensive, and Tesla really makes the only car that has a lot of range, at least up until now. Now there's new electric cars coming on the market, like the Chevy Volt, the Bolt with a B, and the Nissan Leaf. And because these newer cars are coming out in the markets that have longer range, the older versions that have limited range,
selling really cheap,
they are practically giving them away. I don't know how it is all over the country, but like in Seattle, you can buy almost a brand new Nissan Leaf. It's been off lease, you know, maybe a year or two off. It was probably in the lease for a year or two for $8,000, and it might have 20,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable how fast the prices are coming down, especially because of the federal, tax rebate.
Right.
So maybe we'll have that with Tesla.
I had a friend who had a Leaf. He loves the Leaf. Hmm.
It's great. The only problem is that the mileage is zapped if you don't charge it the right way. And if you live in a cold climate, the range is terrible. And so you don't really ever know what your range is going to be because... of the climates and what have you. So, but once the new Chevy Bolt looks awesome, and that thing has a 238 mile range or something like that. So even if you only got half that, you would still be able to do pretty much anything you want to do. You could go on a road trip. I mean, how often do people go 60 miles away from their house? You would have enough range even on a bad day to go 60 miles in one direction and then make it all the way back without charging. If your range was drastically affected by the weather, if it wasn't, you could go 120 miles in one direction and still be able to come home without charging. Like that takes the technology to a point where I think a lot of people would actually genuinely be able to use it and not have to worry about range anxiety.
Well, the federal government just this week, didn't they, announced that they're going to be building charging stations on all the major highways.
Yes.
So they're putting a big effort behind that necessary infrastructure. So that's going
Didn't they say they're going to be building charging stations along 25,000 miles of highway?
Something like that. Yeah, I think it includes most of the big highways, most of the big routes.
See, why can't our tax dollars be used on more stuff like that? Like that's perfect. It's like you're building infrastructure. You're going to create jobs. You're going to help facilitate this whole new industry of electric cars. And it's a win-win for everyone. I personal opinion. I know there's probably people out there that disagree with me.
What kind of fantasy world are you living in? You're dreaming about some kind of like actual functioning, federal government rather than this kind of gridlocked,
silly me. I know.
Incalcitrant Washington mess that we have.
I know. I'm a dreamer.
Wouldn't it be
nice
if the government actually did something useful and didn't fight about emails and crazy stuff like that.
Okay, well, with that, we should go ahead and wrap it up there.
Stop ranting. I can feel the rant building up.
I feel it coming on. It's like I triggered him, guys. I'm sorry. It's like mentioning AT&T. You don't want to get either of us going.
Right.
We're already at the last. We're at the first hour. We don't want to take this for a whole new hour. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come tell us what you think about anything that we talked about today, come say hi to us on Twitter. I'm at AirFunBusters, BST3R, Leander's L. Caney. You can also come contribute your thoughts and ideas on thecultcast.reddit.com. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Smoke a bowl, everything's gonna be fine.
What do you have?
Smoke-a-boo, man.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
Hello. Oh, boy, your mic is really loud. Can you open your preferences and just take a little look-see there for me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, actually, last week, I got a really bad echo on your side of the recording.
Oh, yeah? Huh, why?
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Okay, I'm down
to... No, I can still hear you. Keep going.
64?
No, I can still hear you. Keep going.
What?
Well, I'm not quite there yet.
Oh, my God. You really got me there.
Hey, did you start your recording, Leander?
I did, yeah.
Quick time. Oh, thank God. That was comedic gold right there.
Yeah, it's going.